The Big Red Couch, a podcast about making role-playing games. A group of GMs and players draw ideas from the mystery box and bring their game pitches to you. In which our heroes draw a card.
Welcome, listener, to drawing number 25 of The Big Red Couch. Our guest drawer for today is Gulotti.
Scrolls wildly in the box. Produces a card. Which reads, Papa Legba's Gumbo Hut.
Yoo-hoo!
Standing!
Yes!
See you soon.
There will be plenty to chow down on.
See you. Some days later.
Have you had necessary scribbling time?
I've had scribbling time, so what the hey. I've gone in with less.
Delta.
Does anybody else need to make biological noises?
Essentially all of the noises we make are biological, but now...
Disgustingly biological noises that are not performative
this
in any
one's
way.
Gravitational.
Yeah, but you didn't make that noise, did you?
That's
the pen
true.
Did.
The pen made that noise. It's the thing. It's the now you've described them as biological noises.
But you knew what I meant.
Now I'm thinking of the, they're made of meat. It's like, great, well, here we are, sitting around the microphone, recording our biological noises. Thanks, Tonya.
Should we have a moment of silence?
It's biological silence.
Biological silence.
Shut it, you. And now I'm not helping.
Okay!
We will be recording episode 25, Papa Legba's Gumbo Hut.
Do you want to lead us into the news?
Well, with... I can do it. I don't know why.
Okay, a little bit of music from Manos and the Hands of Fate.
Do, 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 do. I don't know where that came from.
It came from my dream of genie.
Shush.
Okay. Greetings, listener, and welcome to episode 25 of The Big Red Couch, where the topic for the week is Papa Legba's Gumbo Hut.
Yay!
Woo!
It's fun. This one featured in the Noir game that you can see in development in the games that we made our very own selves thing when we've been playtesting it. Whose fault was Papa Legba? It was you, wasn't it?
It was Craig.
Sitting there with his beard and his shifty eyes.
Let's introduce the people you're pointing at, so the...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I skipped that whole step. On the mics today we have me, Kev.
Tonya.
Ben.
And Craig, who apparently is sitting here being shifty and bearded.
Well, that's true, you are.
Yeah.
I would go with fidgety, maybe.
Oh, you looked shifty when we were talking about whose fault Papa Legba's Gumbo Hut was. I mean, it's a great concept, and turned out well in the game. So,
tell us a story, Mr. Craig!
You pretty much covered the high points, to be brutally honest. There was this wire game, and there was Papa Legba's Gumbo Hut, though I now realise that I may have picked up on the noir elements for my idea.
That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a little... Well, for bits of my idea.
Roll on through, then.
Yeah, you shouldn't
care. Okay. Right, I have...
Recap. I wasn't here for this session, so I'm as in the dark as our listener is currently.
Oh,
unless
right.
The listener is actually in the dark, then they're, you know...
Darker than us.
Indeed.
Because it is a bright, sunny day.
Yeah.
In summer.
So muggy.
It is a bit on the muggy side, and the flies are being friendly.
Yes, if you hear things that sound like futuristic weapons ricocheting nearby, it's flies bounding into the microphone and pinging away again because they're stupid and I hate them.
It's a cool noise, though.
Kind of is.
I will not deny that the noise is cool.
If the spirit takes anyone, they can do a dubstep remix and we'll make Kevin's day.
Okay, so the noir playtest that we did involved... Well, you can look up the game your very own self. I think it is...
It's the currently only thing under games what we are developing our very own selves.
Because you are the least crap of us.
I don't know. I haven't done any reviews lately. Yeah, the point of the game is to have a group of players collaboratively put together a noir movie, but with no preparation. So basically people are picking up prompt cards and saying their piece, and anything they choose to say is true for the movie, unless they do something like pick up a red herring card. Somebody picks up a red herring card later and says, well, that thing actually was a lie, but in universe kind of thing. So I think the one we started out with a...
Fortune teller and cat sitter.
Madame Lucretia, yes.
That's
fortune
right.
Telling and cat grooming service.
And
who was our detective character for...
Somebody tries to steal the cat, and then somehow they ended up...
With a map.
With a map, and at the CD dive bar by the waterfront, which I decided was Papa Legba's Gumbo Hut. which we then decided was funny enough to put into the game. Well, to put into the box for game seed ideas. Which leads us nicely back to the actual podcast. Ta-da!
Woo!
I'm actually going to be very interested to see how many of our ideas just trample all over each other on this one.
I don't know. We will have done some similar research, I think, but hopefully not too similar.
I'm safe there. I did none at all. Also, one of the houses over there is watching my little home.
They didn't think we noticed.
But we did.
Okay.
Anyway, what was your idea?
It's been kind of distracted by My Little Pony, to be brutally honest. Okay, Papa Legba's Gumbo Hut. In this case, I'm going with the role of Papa Legba as the intermediary between humans and the Loam in the voodoo tradition. I apologize in advance for my horrifying pronunciation of any and all words used in this episode.
Yeah, sorry about that. We're all going to be doing that.
I think the Big Red Couch as a whole should also apologize for the terrifying misappropriations of lore that we are about to make.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's...
No disrespect is intended.
That's going to be bad. Yes, I'm imagining something akin to the setup of Ghostbusters or Inspectors, where you have in Inspectors / Ghostbusters, you have various Ghostbuster franchises around the country. In this case, you've got Papa Legba's Gumbo Hut, which is a fast food-ish, possibly takeout, possibly diner-style gumbo restaurant, which is also the mechanism by which people can communicate with the Loam.
Okay, so you come in, you get your serving of crab meat, gumbo,
And maybe some cornbread.
And maybe some cornbread, and that puts you in contact with the Loam.
Is the food just that good?
Ooh, nice.
It is soul food. I'll stop now.
Yes, you will. I'm thinking it's two parts of the same operation, that you've got, you know, you can go there and just eat, and that's fine. But if you really need to contact the Loam for something, Papa Legba's is the way to do it. It's almost franchising out the role of, I've completely forgotten the term for the person who officiates a ceremony, and it probably depends. It could be Mabo.
Priestess is Mamba, I think. I forget what a priest is called, because it's Holman. Again, sorry for pronunciations.
So we're New Zealanders, we don't know any better.
Yeah, that was sort of setting option number one, where you've got ostensibly a very normal world, and there's just this Papa Legba's Gumbo Hut with this charming cultural appropriation style of iconography and advertising and that kind of thing, with the grinning Papa Legba figure, suitably sanitized for the chillens.
But there's a room in the back where you can get serious stuff done.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I wasn't really able to decide whether the party, if you're doing this as a one-off, then maybe the party are people who need to use the services of Papa Legba's Gumbo Hut. If you're trying to do any sort of campaign out of this, or even just a different one-off, I think the players have to be the people running Papa Legba's Gumbo Hut.
Yes.
Okay.
And so you'll have people coming to them. They'll be wanting things. They'll be needing stuff done. And of course it's going to go horribly wrong, because that's where the fun is.
Interesting. Okay. I'm kind of getting the impression that you've got a group of people who might be washing dishes, bussing tables, taking orders, unless certain folk come in.
Yeah.
And after hours, they're running around getting bits and bobs in order to intercede with the Loam.
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
So it's a New Orleans version of Pushing Daisies.
That was the funeral?
That was the pie place, and the guy had the ability to resurrect the dead.
Temporarily.
I never saw that show.
It only got one season, but it was kind of wacky. It was kind of cool.
Okay.
Worth checking out.
So the pies really were that good.
He never had a problem with fresh produce.
Slightly creepy, but
Yeah, a little. So the party would be operating out of this, possibly a franchise store. How franchise are we talking? Are we looking sort of tiki bar levels of inappropriateness? Or?
I think it's horrifying tiki bar levels of inappropriateness. And if you're going with the out-and-out comedy version...
God, I'm imagining little plastic toys, like Hamburglar style of Baron Samedi and...
Yep.
Oh, God, that's bad.
You know, and a franchise agreement that means that you've always got to have your diner has always got to be at a crossroads. This kind of thing.
And you don't close.
Yeah, you don't ever close. But the kitchen might be closed, but the doors are never closed. But I think if you're going with out-and-out comedy, you have a bunch of people who have bought themselves a Papa Legba's Gumbo Hut franchise. They've pulled their money together. They've bought the franchise. They've got the site. They've got everything set up. It's like a bunch of people buying themselves, I don't know, a Subway or a Starbucks franchise or
Except in this case, they didn't realise until after they opened that there was a kind of extra duties.
Yeah, they didn't look into the extra clauses.
Would there be a rider?
Ha!
Nice!
Sorry.
No, you're not.
And so, yes, you've potentially got the fun of people who don't really know what they're doing, trying to intercede with the law.
Wow, okay, yeah, the idea of amateur voodoo.
Yeah.
And restaurateur investigators. I'm not super comfortable with it, but I could see it'd be interesting.
That was option one.
Okay.
Option two, which I hadn't recognised the noir element, involves the movie Cast a Deadly Spell, which is a noir-esque detective horror film in which you've got, I guess, a Harry Phillips Lovecraft detective operating in a world where magic is incredibly commonplace. One of the first scenes in the movie is a policeman lighting a cigarette by just clicking his fingers, flame comes out of his hand, and he lights it, because absolutely everybody uses magic.
Gets the point across, I suppose.
Except for Detective Lovecraft. He doesn't really like it.
I see.
Papa Legba's Gumbo Hut would also fit really nicely
in that universe.
Into that universe.
Nice.
That is a really cool idea. I had an idea for a kind of one-shot or short campaign with the whole franchise option. I have spent too long in retail, so drawing on a lot of ideas. But if you have this franchise operation where you've got people who've been working in this place for varying lengths of time, you've got varying kind of seniority and experience in terms of running the place, but no one's the owner. No one's the manager. It's just people who are
collective.
Not for the shift, anyway.
Oh, okay.
That basically you've got the people who can mostly be relied upon not to be degenerate savages, mostly, but no one is in kind of final authority on that shift at that point. And you've got people just out of high school, people who've been kind of roaming around doing the cooking thing, other people serving it. There's this whole collection of people from all kinds of different walks of life and degrees of usefulness. And then during the shift, someone gets a message or otherwise possessed by the lower and basically says, people are coming, stop them. We don't want to talk to them. It would go badly.
Oh, interesting.
And so you've got this kind of
preemptive denial of service.
Somewhat goofy retail assault on Precinct 13 going on, where you have these people who are just retail monkeys and kitchen monkeys and things who are trying to keep particular people out. Because if they get in, the law will have to talk to them. That would be bad.
Okay.
Interesting.
Are we, the method of keeping it out, are we talking Home Alone or Die Hard?
Or Supernatural.
Mm.
The whole thing is, you know, this
we're just
is
going to go outside and spill a lot of salt.
It'll just various things, but possibly bringing in the Ananami's riff of these may not be people with magic who want to get in. They just may be crazy.
Hmm.
Okay, but crazy enough that a line of brick dust across the door will do the trick.
Yes!
Okay.
There's all sorts of things you could do with that in terms of you may not even need to have a magic system. You may need to have a magic fakery skill.
Mm.
Okay.
The idea of, yes, welcome to Papa Legba's Gumbo Hut. Hop step over here, we'll find your table. Not you, you stay out! Rick, he's coming in the windows, get the hose! And kind of trying to balance the whole thing.
So closer to Home Alone, but with an option on Supernatural.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Because basically no one is entirely willing to just say, we close for the night.
Nobody has that kind of authority.
Yeah. So it would be this kind of hybrid of various things set in retail. Empire Records, Home Alone, Supernatural. You could do a whole range of grittiness, as Ben says, through Assault on Precinct 13 and Die Hard, through to the Ananami's end of the spectrum, where we have murderous nutbags trying to get into this establishment.
Mm-hmm.
Or the wackier option of, as you say, keeping them out with brick dust and other things, but they're still trying to get in.
I'm enjoying the idea of playing a game that is set in a universe that is a cross between Craig's idea and Kevin's idea.
Okay.
So you have those guys who are the players working at Craig's shop.
Mm. That would be cool.
Yeah.
So it's in fact a cheesy franchise, or in fact a cheesy, somebody's hoping it's going to be a franchise, but right now it's just one restaurant with an absentee owner because he's off trying to get the franchising started, and then the lower actually starts turning up. Oh, man.
If you will put Veves on your kiddie placemats, then stuff's going to happen.
Oh, wow.
Ah, yes, the complete the mystic symbol playmat. That always works well. What do you call the happy meal?
The paprika, the saffron salt, and
chalk.
Yeah, what's something green? Kind of a wasabi powder.
Mm.
Spilled on just the wrong placemat at just the right time.
That would be neat.
Very important not to have a picture of our founder anywhere around.
Wow. That would be... Ooh.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's pretty much what I came up with for Papa Legba's Gumbo Hut.
Cool.
Given that it is not a religion that is particularly dying out, the whole shtick of Papa Legba's Gumbo Hut being run by Papa Legba, who, with a dearth of followers, has fallen upon hard times and so has moved into a different career, Sandman style, doesn't really work in a modern day setting because...
He has no need.
Or just who really likes cooking. Because, you know, everybody's got to have a hobby. Even if you are the intermediary and the Lord of the Crossroads. Sometimes you just want to putter about in the kitchen, make a gumbo, maybe turn out some cornbread.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a couple of very different but very fun, and I'd be interested in playing in all of them ideas there.
Yeah.
Yay!
So did you cover your idea already? Or
no. Shall I go next? So that was my interpretation of Craig's idea.
Mm-hmm. I see. Okay.
I just like the idea that you've got these kitchen people and retail monkeys kind of doing a whole... Some people attempted to do a job's worth of, no, we're just going to run the restaurant. We don't really care about anything else. And other people talking about that this sounds as though there is a risk to the restaurant. And I like the idea of the rallying point being the blonde suburbanite just out of high school gum-popping girl who, no, she likes this store. Expectations are low.
She's not the one that's going to get possessed.
No.
It's going to be the person who turns up and all they're doing is biding time till break time so that they can nip out the back, have a cigarette and a slug of something alcoholic, which would be a very small donation to Lowell.
I wasn't thinking this person was going to be the one getting possessed. I was just thinking that she was going to be the rallying point of, no, we will defend the store. Nobody pays attention to what we do here. It's great.
Well, I think whoever gets possessed realistically has to be the one who is entrusted with opening and closing duties.
Yeah, that's necessary.
That makes perfect sense.
It does. Although, they don't have to stay possessed through the evening. It could just be these are your instructions. Good luck with that.
Mazel tov.
Well, if you wouldn't mind me going next, I think I have an idea that kind of segues from there.
But does
not cover the same ground. See, what I was thinking of was there's a strong tradition in voodoo of there being this mirroring between our world and the world beyond the veil, which is a word I did not write down and couldn't pronounce when I did. So I had this idea that if you've been to a voodoo rite, often people get possessed. And I was wondering what happens to that person's spirit while they are possessed. Is it possible that they cross the other way through the gates so they are in the spirit world? And I kind of had this image of you popping through the gate onto a road that's surrounded by forest. There may be suggestions that there's some kind of snake in the forest. And ahead of you, you can see, actually straddling the road, this eatery, which would be your access to the crossroads. I don't have a strong idea of what the rest of the world looks like. I know that there's a crossroads on the other side of the gumbo hut. You can only get to it if you enter the eatery and talk to Papa Legba and whoever else happens to be sitting around. He's, of course, going to be sitting off at a corner table holding court, as it were.
Okay.
If you do get past, there'll be another guy who's sitting in a throne in the middle of the crossroads. It's a barren crossroads. There'll be other establishments around the crossroads and off the other branches run by other lore to various purposes. I kind of had this idea of setting it up Dresden Files, city creation style. So the kinds of businesses, the kinds of lore, the kinds of atmospheres that people are interested in will be tailored to the group that's playing.
Huh.
Yeah, but when you were talking about there being this fast food store at a crossroads in the human world, I kind of had this feeling of a place that, okay, it closes here, but it opens there. So you could have players flipping backwards and forwards between the human realm and the spirit realm.
Which reminds me of Jonathan Strange and Mr. Norrell in all sorts of unfortunate ways. That's a cool idea.
Yes, I hadn't thought of that, although it's unlikely that this place would shift the way fairy does in Jonathan Strange.
More the people who never actually sleep.
I had a feeling that the players could either be humans who are trying to get stuff done while they're in the spirit world before they have to go back, which would make for a good one shot, or that they would be possibly the spirits of the dead trying to get through to the crossroads and find a place for themselves in their new world.
Okay.
Or possibly find the route on to heaven.
Interesting.
In voodoo, God is a very distant figure.
Mm.
But you have these other folk who deal with the day-to-day of a spirit's needs. or there was also the possibility that you could be minor lower who have nothing to do on the spirit side, so you're trying to sneak past Papa Legba in order to possess people and pretend you're, I don't know, Mama Brigitte or something, and go out and have fun.
The equivalent of...
Or the equivalent of, yeah.
Suddenly get an, got an Animal House vibe there, but
yeah.
Maybe not.
Sacrilegious. I couldn't really decide in my mental imagery for a diner covering the crossroads whether I was imagining one of those very classic swamp house up on piles.
Ooh, nice.
That's actually built over the top of the crossroads, except what you have is a diner. Mm-hmm. Or whether you've got something where there was sort of a water tower at one side of the crossroads and you've got this ramshackle thing that's built over it that way. Or...
You've got a thing either side and kind of a bridge built between the two of them as the gumbo hut.
Indeed. Or, as the slightly horrifying and creepier option, one of those 60s concrete brutalist roadside diner and service station setups that just straddles the entire intersection. And so you've got stairs or elevators at the pillars, and this concrete and chrome monstrosity that hovers over, shadows the entire intersection.
Ooh. I think I prefer the swamp hut, personally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a cool idea.
Yeah.
Feels less like the Basingstoke services. The lower of Milton Keynes, yeah.
The other option would be... rather than being people trying to sneak past Papa Legba, that you are actually part of the infrastructure who are trying to deal with incoming spirits.
Oh, okay. So part of your job is deciding who gets to talk to the man himself and or which road people need to be on.
Yeah.
Mm.
And then that would very much be business as usual, and then something happens in the game where that stops working. Mm. The night that the queue starts to get really long, and people start to ask questions of, what's going on out there?
Don't ask me. There was a bright light. I thought we were on.
Yeah.
Like, either that, or it would be an interesting setting to run through with people who just... a kind of one-shot, penny for my thoughts kind of thing, where it's not obvious what's going on for people. So they just turn up somewhere. So then we're in a car accident or something, we're lost, find this hut.
Oh, okay. So it's like you've accidentally crossed the veil.
No, what
interesting.
Do you do? I'm trying to figure out exactly what's happening, trying to figure out how to get back, if that's possible.
I'm just trying to picture the... this little settlement on the other side. I'm getting Grim Fandango keeps re-intruding into my brain at this point.
Ooh, nice, I hadn't thought of that.
Because it's a, you know, a little a way station on a path onwards somewhere and inhabited by odd characters.
Did you do a lot of murdering while you were alive? None. Really? Not even one? It's all right, you can tell me. No, I'm pretty sure. I see. Would it help if I killed somebody now? No, it wouldn't count. Sorry.
Cool.
What was your idea? The notion I'd come up with was pretty much... I'd done some basic research, tried to remind myself what these various things... I knew I'd seen references to Papa Legba and things like Neil Gaiman. Which one was that? That was...
American Gods?
American Gods, that's right. So there's vague variations there. And also in a... Wow, my brain is doing well today. The cyberpunk guy.
Neil Stevenson?
The other cyberpunk guy.
William Gibson. The Sprawl trilogy. There was a lot of voodoo imagery in certain bits of that.
And the idea that Papa Legba being the lower of paths and doors, and that he's the opener of the ways, and he's the intermediary that allows mortals to communicate with the gods, or the demigods, or whatever level that they occupy. And I kind of all mush that together and combine it with an idea that I would like to use as a game setting. I hadn't really come up with a hook for. I wanted to try to do a pervasive nanotech kind of environment where this highly advanced omnipresent technology, if manipulated correctly, is functionally the same as magic, works in the same ways. And I've seen, there are definitely some science fiction series that have postulated that, look, this magic is merely just sufficiently advanced technology.
Yeah.
It's just that the folks know how to manipulate this. So the idea that's come together in the last hour is that the world basically underwent a singularity that's being either lauded or threatened at the point in time, and technology has become incomprehensible to humans. It's not, strictly speaking, malevolent.
Mm-hmm.
It's just everywhere, and it's no one controls it anymore. No one, there is no human executive decisions on it anymore.
So it's more about persuading technology to work for you now.
Yep. And some people are intermediaries between mortal concerns and these floating clouds of decision-making engines that still want to do things in relation to humans, but there's no clear idea that they understand people any better than people understand them. So they are vast, incomprehensible presences that might literally be in the room, but you now need someone to take on the aspect of them, to interpret them for people living in the world, as it were.
Okay, so you have people stepping up to, in effect, be possessed.
Indeed, and the idea that certain cybernetic enhancements and so forth allow you to take up a pact with this world of shifting spirits of technology.
Interesting.
And so the notion would be that trying to unravel a mystery in this world where things don't work the same as they used to, and the idea that that Udon is the best
model?
The best model, the best analogy for dealing with these things. And it's what humanity has kind of has taken on to at least the group that you're dealing with, have taken on to actually interact with this world of very, very powerful, quite dangerous entities that now kind of control the world, although their motivations are probably based on finding what your Amazon ranking for certain products are. There's still fundamentally somewhere out there the central driving tenet is to find information for you or to find you the best products. But it's just descended into this thing which no longer has any reins on it at all.
Interesting. Okay. I'm imagining people sort of coming forward to be a programmer or something by finding certain substances and drawing particular symbols on themselves to signal their readiness to be invaded, I guess.
It is a very different and interesting spin on, like, the incense, toss the censer and hit the rune mark activate for the acolytes of the machine spirit and Warhammer too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the idea that all of these, that the information has been lost because it's been overlaid by all the, by simply people don't understand how it works anymore, the direct interaction with these machines, because they've got so insanely complicated. It's not a matter of opening a shell script and telling it to do something. It has now become a more abstract interaction.
Mm.
And so you've got this ritualistic, quite literally, interface for getting things done.
And, and I've got a strong feeling that society has probably collapsed to some degree, because a lot of the things that order it are now ordering themselves. So, yeah, there's a lot of...
It's less a case that you have lost control of your technology, more a case that your technology and you have parted ways somewhat.
Yeah.
And are now reduced to shouting back and forth.
And maybe that's the thing. Maybe that normal meat people have been left behind by the sudden jump.
Mm.
And it's a matter of catching up or just going, screw it, we're going to farm potatoes.
I think the game and the vibe would change depending on how soon afterwards you set it. If it was set generations afterwards and it was just that...
this is the normal.
This is the normal and that the whole voodoo tradition is what you know techies to be. As opposed to the people who were on the front lines figuring it out during and after the collapse.
Yeah.
It would be very different in terms of vibe and context. But that's a neat idea.
I think I would go with it being a good few years after the singularity has happened.
A generation, maybe two?
I wouldn't even go with a generation. I'd go with things changed within the living memory of some people. Because I'm kind of imagining a world where we're assuming nanotech, the systems just kind of took off and jumped ahead. And so you've now got cities where the lights come on, everything still works, but nobody really understands how anymore. Power plants are still producing power.
But nobody works
there. Sort of. But nobody works there anymore. Nobody can get a radiation signature off them anymore.
Interesting. See, I was considering that maybe you would have... There's a particular image that has kind of sunk into my brain from a book called Thigmu, this great movement of ours, where you have effectively digital entities deciding to secede and become their own thing, building a mainframe in the middle of a desert because freely available silica. And when you see it from the outside, it's a lake of molten glass with this cold thing at the centre that they've built using nanomachines. And the output from their mainframe is what's melting the glass around it.
And they're then using manipulated glass to grow the bit they're actually using, and it's kind of spreading very slowly.
Mm. Yeah, so I'm imagining there being this largely agrarian populace of humans surrounded by nanomachine clouds, but there's a few places you don't go because they're too hot for humans to survive in, maybe. I don't know.
And the sacred places as well.
Also sacred places.
You can tell they're sacred because of the way that people's skin tends to fall off whenever anybody goes there. Followed by their least favourite organs.
The thing that occurred to me with it, in terms of if it is not even a generation afterwards, but there's been this big change, that would be a really interesting setting to have if you have a situation where there are still buildings that work, infrastructure hasn't collapsed, and if anything, infrastructure is still working in ways that are uncontrolled. So if you have people who can't afford to pay for their power, the power can't be shut off. The electric company has no ability to control that anymore.
Oh, interesting.
And so you've got this kind of new shifting territory where...
People who prayed for the power to stay on, and it did.
Yeah.
In spite of what the electric company did.
Yeah.
People prayed for their supermarket bills that they ran up over the internet to be paid, and they were.
Yes.
What
would that look like?
They might be being presented with proportionally more advertising on their on the screens, but...
That's okay. That's just the lower asking for a libation of whatever it is that's being advertised. And so how can you say no?
Particularly when it's go to Fred's, best cheeseburgers and such and such. You don't need to buy a cheeseburger. You can just go to Fred's, because that was the imperative.
Yeah.
That would be interesting.
I'd be quite keen on making it not Skynet, making it not a homicidal freaking computer, but having it be having this melange of different systems that know that they have to play nice, but they have objectives.
Basically about a communication gap that's two-way. And it's not malevolence, it's mutual incomprehension.
Yeah, because they were never... I saw something recently about the phrase artificial intelligence being useless. And something along the lines of machine reasoning being more appropriate, because it doesn't describe making people out of computers. It describes an entirely new sort of thought that we've yet to either observe or understand. The observing may become long before the understanding, if we know what our biological thought processes have been.
There's all sorts of examples we can take from that at the moment. There's a writer I think is quite cool called Chuck Wendig, who regularly does this thing called search term bingo, where he calls out these various nonsensical strings of text and starts to build up a little story of what the person who wrote this was actually looking for. And a lot of it was clearly making fun of spam bots, like we've started to do at the Big Red Couch, because fascinating things have been coming up. But the thing that I noticed, when he started calling out the specifically spam bots, the next time he did it, there were more of them and they were threatening. And that's continued.
The ruder he was to them, the ruder they got back.
Yeah. No one noticed when the internet woke up. Jack Wendig was the first person to encounter it, and he taunted it. It did not end well.
There's definitely a lot of potential for the incomprehensible mind of the internet to just be a dick sometimes.
Well, that's what we've been training it to be. So.
Yeah,
recognize cats, locate pornography.
Follow the dictates of XKCD.
Yeah.
I have a horrifying thought for some of the people more likely to have tried out weird shit to see what happens and then horrendously abused their power over their ability to communicate with these new lower. 4chan.
Oh my.
Oh.
Slightly horrifying.
I'm still struggling with the idea that we were training a nascent entity to recognize cats and be bad at sex. But the idea that people doing this would be 4chan kind of pushed me over the edge there for a second.
Yeah. Maybe not. 4chan finds things that are significant to human minds.
That's true.
if it's of interest to humans, presumably the machines of loving grace?
Yeah.
Will be going, hey, this interests humans. What a bunch of sickos.
It does remind me of the XKCD comic where it's talking about how global currencies have collapsed, and so instead we're using cat gifts. And someone kind of fumbling their hard drive and going, oh, how I have waited for this day. That would be interesting. The whole idea of that there is this communication gap and that what is valued is not necessarily sensible, but it's there.
Okay, so if you are a small group of normal humans in this world, what's fun to do? What are the challenges that get set you? Or do you live in a remote area and don't have access to the uplifted, the technician?
I think that would be part of it, that this has spilled over. That is, like, there is no longer... The digital divide is no longer hardware.
I have an idea for how to turn this into a game.
Ooh.
PCs are a group of different people who've never met, who have never even met in a bar.
Uh-huh.
But they're about to be sent in the same direction for the same reasons by the lower messages that they're getting back.
Hmm. Okay.
And it's basically there to spread the word of how to talk to the lower into areas where that knowledge has been lost.
Nice.
Or where
we're talking a remake of Journey to the West.
We weren't until now.
I don't know. It could be Quest for Fire as well. So
yes,
yeah.
But that would be awesome. A somewhat techno-voodoo pilgrimage into savage lands where people responded to the singularity by knocking down all the power cables and just burning shit or something.
Let's burn down the observatory so that this never happens again.
Yes, and so you have these people with fearsome, strange abilities wandering in and trying to explain to people which is going to look like creepy magico converts.
Interesting.
And that is your task. The whole Journey to the West thing, yes. Yes, that would be fun.
Hmm.
It could be as simple as the messages sending you somewhere where there is a great teacher who is on their deathbed.
Yep, yeah, that would be
so
cool.
So you have to get there and invoke Grandbois or something like that to heal him or her.
Or to care for their spirit, maybe uploading it.
Uploading him.
So that the knowledge is not lost. That would be a cool game.
Yeah.
The characters could be, you know, variously people able to control the nanotechnology around them to do various bizarre things, and taking these gifts given to them by the law, they strike out into the Badlands, or, you know, it's like too humid, I'm suddenly thinking, for the
too humid for nanomachines.
To operate in great swarms or something like that.
This could be quite a big sweeping campaign, because it's possible that there is this communication gap, and that the goal of the campaign, though the humans don't know it, is to break down that barrier, that the machines actually want to be able to talk again more directly.
But this is being driven by the machine minds rather than by human minds the way it was in the past.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Maybe the machines are just sort of like, they feel they've lost their way. They no longer have the Reddit upvotes or whatever that drove them in the past, and they're trying to find purpose.
That would be interesting.
I don't
think my idea is anywhere near as interesting or has nuance or depth or a setting at all, really. But
oh, well, that's it for sure.
My one kind of ricocheted wildly from the initial starting point, because we had Papa Legba's Gumbo Hut, so I thought the restaurant from Lara, and that was fun, the voodoo theme. And then I thought of a riff in the Pratchett book called Witches Abroad that I always liked, is that you had someone who had a witch's hut that wandered around, except rather on chicken feet, it was duck feet, so that it could swim through the bayou where necessary and then wander up on duck feet and things. The whole mobile building thing kind of connected with me with the Papa Legba's Gumbo Hut thing, and then a setting was spawned. It is a stupid, stupid setting, but it made me laugh for more than 15 seconds.
That's all it requires.
Is a post-apocalyptic setting that has absolutely nothing to do with voodoo, but a little bit to do with the setting of Snow Crash, where you had these very corporate birdclaves and things, except that there was war between the foodie corporations and things, and all sorts of things collapsed. And so you've got little fiefdoms like Papa Legba's Gumbo Hut that is this mobile, weaponized eatery trundling across the landscape with the people who call it home following in its wake. A little bit like the Municipal Darwinism books, actually.
Mortal Engines?
Mortal Engines from Philip Reeve?
That'd be
I am imagining hole-in-the-wall eateries, like the Mrs. Higgins Cookie Company.
Yes.
Just kind of ripping themselves out of the wall and walking off.
Yes, exactly. And then you've got the really big ones, the terrifying shadow-casting hovering disc with the really gothic
yellow
Chronicles
arches.
Of Riddick faces pointing out in all directions that there's this carved mermaid holding a coffee cup. And, devastating the land around it for the eternal shadow as it moves.
I was thinking of Howl's Moving Food Court.
Ah!
I was imagining things like the Mrs. Higgins Cookie Company or those Toro Churro. Mm-hmm. For those people who don't know what on earth we're talking about, we're basically talking about little food places that are maybe twice the width of an interior door of a house.
Think a phone booth in a wall that you get food from.
Yeah, they're at least as twice as big as the largest food item they sell.
Yeah, these tiny little places. I was imagining them as being, rather than being these little individual things scuttling around, that they crop up in the middle of, so you've got the enormous mermaid,
flying saucer, battleship.
But if you're wandering around on there and you wander down a corridor, there'll be this wonderful smell of baking. And there's a Mrs. Higgins that's crept on board and just installed itself somewhere.
Parasite eater.
Yes.
Nice.
I like it. Okay. But yeah, so I kind of like the idea of the setting where you've got these fast food behemoths blowing the shit out of each other as they're trying to run the landscape and people just kind of wandering around following them trying to survive and the PC basically looking at the situation and going, this is clown shoes bullshit. No, we shouldn't talk about the clown that way. Dangerous people, them.
This is Starbucks territory.
Yeah, exactly. Except the territories move and you've got these roaming battle eateries. And that was honestly pretty much as far as I got. But
I kind of like the idea of specifically Papa Legba's gumbo hut being a slightly larger parasite that installs itself over a crossroads so that it has captive throughput, as
it
were.
I like it. Who knows? I mean, if we want to go really strange with it, the PCs could be a populace that's managed to keep itself independent of these roaming terrors in the past, and they've picked up word that one of the big ones has swung in their direction. What do we do? Do we move out of the way? Do we hide? Do we fight back?
Dominoes.
You hire 7 guys with swords.
Yes!
Oh,
that would be so cool! You know, there's so many different riffs that we could do with this. It would be fantastic.
7 guys with spatulas. Short order 7.
I suppose now would be a appropriate time to mention that I just read an article about somebody who spent 2013 eating only from Starbucks.
Ack. Tempting to follow in a certain supersize-y footstep?
I think they were being less personally damaging.
Not by much.
Yeah. Regardless of where you get it from, pastries and coffee is going to be a poor dietary choice.
They also have salads.
Oh my goodness.
Fruit salads and that kind of thing.
Okay, so you can get a vegetable.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Not much in the way of fiber, though.
There's going to be bran muffins.
I started eating napkins so I could boo again.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, audience. I'll put him out of his misery after the show.
I just can't decide whether the Domino's thing would be this flying... Would you go with the creepy...
Flying disc?
Flying... Well, effectively just enormous flying pizza with gun ports. Or whether it's a just...
It's dropping scalding pepperoni!
Yeah, whether you go the Cloudy or the Chance of Meatballs approach and just go with the complete... idiocy.
I think we embrace idiocy for this one. So it's a flying pizza box, except it launches very dangerous fighter jets that look like pizza slices.
Nice. Okay,
yeah,
that'll work.
I'm sure there's a Star Wars parody I saw sometime that did that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like the Chuck E. Cheese empire.
Yeah. Well, I did like the Necromonga Starbucks kind of imagery though.
I'm honestly surprised they didn't make that as a marketing riff at the time. But
oh, well, when Ben was talking about hiring 7 doughty warriors with spatulas, for some reason what my brain grabbed onto was SpongeBob SquarePants.
Me too!
Oh, what? God.
He is the fry cook.
He is the fry cook of fry cooks.
It is true. It's all that's in his brain.
It's frying things.
Oh, no. My brain's doing a Don Quixote riff, except with SpongeBob, and now with the very reluctant Squidward.
On a donkey.
On a donkey.
Sancho Squidward.
Interesting.
There is no pop culture riff that I can't ram into this and have it make me laugh for too long. So, yeah, we could do anything with this. Because it's just stupid enough to be open.
Yeah, I've got a copy of Quags sitting right over there.
That is true.
It's true. It's marked Quags in bits.
Mm.
Because there's extra stuff.
Bits.
Funkadelic Frankenstein on the mean streets of Monster Town, I believe.
Giant spidery McDonald's things walking along on the yellow arches. That's big
on yellow curved yellow legs.
Tripod, yeah.
Imagining it more like a millipede.
Yeah.
It's got...
Oh, so it's the M repeats.
Yeah, the M repeats.
Ooh.
Hmm.
If you want to go with the bizarre dichotomy of it, you have something that looks like a scene straight out of The Road or The Book of Eli, of dirty, footsore people trudging down a road, holding their few possessions, and then there's this...
And everybody dives off the road to so that they...
Well, possibly it's straddling the road.
Mm. Oh.
Just walking either side of it.
Yeah. Huge thing, kind of horizoning, wandering along, and then in the distance you can hear claps of thunder as the huge hovering Wendy's head bombards the cross bombardment to the Starbucks saucer.
I think I have a game for this.
Yeah?
Well, if your players are people who were born and bred on, let's for argument's sake, say a McDonald's Walker.
Yeah.
But in the Great Wars, there have been breakdowns.
Mm-hmm.
This particular restaurant is not doing well.
Mm-hmm.
They can't hold the population. Some people are going to have to leave.
Mm-hmm.
So every once in a while, it sits down.
Mm-hmm.
It sets down. People are detailed to turf the parasite eateries
mm-hmm.
and go with them. To build them up into new...
Cool. That would work. So you are people with no grasp of the wider world outside the Golden Arches and all those it protects.
Yeah, but you don't want to take the Mrs. Higgins because it's too small. You want something a little bit bigger so that it's got a place for enough people to defend it to sleep.
I was imagining somebody, yeah, I grew up on a McDonald's crawler. I escaped in a Mrs. Higgins. Hijacked a Mrs. Higgins and flew it fluid past the defense grid.
I'm imagining this whole thing of taking this broken old Papa Legba's gumbo hut out into the wilderness and in the eventual Gurren Lagann rise to break the entire stupid system. Ours is the gumbo that will pierce the heavens.
Thank you.
Excellent.
I was waiting kind of for piercing going. The heavens comment.
It's kind of where I was going with it, but possibly less...
Stupid?
Stupid, yeah.
I'm imagining a gun?
What was it? That was the term from Gurren Lagann, yeah.
That looks like an enormous iron three-legged pot
uh-huh.
with arms and a lid.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm.
These are amazing ideas that I would have loved when I was 13, which tells me that I've been judging my 13-year-old self too harshly up until this point.
So it pretty much proves that I can sit myself down in any corner and cackle to myself quietly for days. Stupid ideas just keep coming. So, yeah.
Yeah.
That was plenty stupid.
It was. But it was also fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when you're right.
Ah! I will add it to the list.
Well, we could have a look at Quags and see what, if any, changes would need to be made there to do the franchise apocalypse.
What approaches for Fate Accelerated would work, though I'll immediately come back to Don SpongeBob.
Yeah, what could you have? I mean, friolation? I think
customer service would be the...
Yeah, you'd have to have customer service, you'd have to have coffee making, you would have to have operating the fryer, you'd have to have short-order chefing.
Mm-hmm. Which is the combat skill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's hand-to-hand.
Mm.
Mm.
Customer relations is social stuff.
Delivery handling is ranged weapons.
Yep.
Yeah.
The skills, there's a mysticism-based skill, would be the drive-through PA interpretation.
Yeah.
Okay,
so no pickles on that? Understood. This is...
And of course,
either that or baristering.
Yeah.
Because of the lost and strange art of...
Possibly supply in the form of busboy.
Mm.
Bussing and clean-up. If you can bus a wide area, who knows what you'll find.
This is alarmingly plausible as something that we might play, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Also puts me in mind of Tales of the Hypermart, but that was a weird comic. And may still be one.
We should look.
I should look. So do we have anything else, or have we plumbed the depths?
Yeah, I think we've gone a long way that we possibly shouldn't have.
It's difficult to know how far is too far until you look over your shoulder
yeah.
and you see that line glinting there a long way back.
Thanks for joining us, audience. We hope you enjoyed it and we'll see you sometime soon.
See you next time.
Bye.
See ya.
Next time on the Big Red Couch.
Our anniversary episode is Spectral Dance Maneuvers from Bob H.
It is really good to hear from Bob H. I'm really looking forward to what we do with this one.
Want to hear more of our shenanigans? Then go to horde.net and click on the button that looks like a couch. The Big Red Couch is released under Attribution, Non-Commercial, Share Alike 3.0 Unported from creativecommons.org. All music on the show comes from the album Universal Fluff Theory by Krakatoa. Visit them at krakatoa.com or follow the link from our page. See you next time!